Hi, this is Martin Billany, a.k.a. Little Kariba, creator of Yu-Gi-Oh! Abridged, and you're watching the Green Lantern Spotlight episode 11.5, the Rickroll episode.
Spotlight Podcast Special Abridged Episode. I am your host, Ryan Reed, webmaster and host of the Green Lantern Spotlight. And yes, ladies, I am still taken. I'm going to get married sometime soon, so hold back the door. Yeah, I know there's nobody there. We got an incredible special episode here today. We have Martin Billany joining us, better known as Little Karibo from the Yu-Gi-Oh! Abridged series. Yep, there he is.
Yeah, I'm shocked that you got my name right. You pronounced it right and everything.
Well, where's
I can't believe that.
I know, where's Kuhan? He always jumping on me for mispronouncing names, so wow.
That's amazing. I'm in awe. That is the first time anybody's pronounced my name right the first time, I think.
Wow. I'm having one of those days. See what happens? I get engaged and I learn how to pronounce things. Well, joining me for this incredible round here with Martin is the wonderful and only Muzar, but I know it's Colton Clayton. How you doing there, Mew?
Oh, good. Just walking on sunshine.
Whoa. Don't it feel good?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Anywho. Well, if you want to know a little something about Martin, he is the creator of the Yu-Gi-Oh! Abridged series, a parody of the Yu-Gi-Oh! Anime. Each episode of the Abridged series parodies the original Yu-Gi-Oh! Equivalent and is typically 4 to 6 minutes per episode, though episode length has steadily increased with time. The series is made using clips from the original series while voicing most of the characters and placing in sound effects, music clips, and well-known movie and television quotes. Little Karibo voices all the Abridged series characters, with the exception of Rebecca and Gary, whom were voiced by Little Karibo's wife, Abigail, or Abby, better known as the screen name Safety. So, Martin, why don't you tell us how this all got started, actually?
Oh, you screwed up the whole pronunciation thing, because her name's actually pronounced Safety, not Safety.
Oh, okay. See, I was doing so good, see?
You're doing so good.
I know.
We all enjoy the Safety dance.
I love that song. Anyway, what was the question?
How did this all get started, actually?
Oh, I just wanted to get involved with the Yu-Gi-Oh! Fandom because I had seen the show on TV and it just appealed to some sort of really strange and deranged aspect of my mind in that it was a show where everybody was very excited and overdramatic and shouty about card games, and I just thought, you know what, you guys should just calm down. What's the big deal? The card games shouldn't dictate the fate of the universe, and I just thought, you know, that's a really easy thing to make fun of. But it's also got some really great characters, and it's got a really interesting story and a twist and things going on. It's got a lot more stuff to it than just the card game, and people, myself included, tended to just look at it and judge it based on the fact that it was all built around a card game, and it was very easy to sort of write it off as another Pokemon ripoff. And you know, you probably could still argue that it is, but I honestly think there's a lot more going on there, and I wanted to sort of find a way to show people the things that I liked about the show. That, you know, because I have very little interest in the actual card game aspect of it. Whenever there's people dueling on the show, I sort of tune it out and I just sort of wait for a character moment to happen or something plot related to happen. And you know, usually in an episode there'll be about 2 minutes worth of that. And I just wanted, you know, to get the opportunity to show people, you know, the show through my own eyes. And so I had a load of Yu-Gi-Oh! DVDs lying around, and I figured out how to rip footage from them, because I'd never known how to rip footage from a DVD until I actually tried to make a Yu-Gi-Oh! Video. And the first Yu-Gi-Oh! Video I made, I think, was something called I'm Yami Partridge, which was taking audio from an episode of I'm Alan Partridge, which is a British sitcom, and placing it over a scene with Yami and Pegasus. And it seemed fairly popular. I mean, in relative terms, because back then I had zero subscribers, and the fact that, you know, 10 or 20 people were enjoying the video was a big thrill. And then I made another video called Meatwad Loves Yu-Gi-Oh!, which I took screenshots from episodes of Aqua Teen Hunger Force and animated it in Windows Movie Maker and made it look like the Aqua Teen characters were talking about Yu-Gi-Oh! That got taken down very, very quickly, and I don't have that anymore, and I'd like to see that again, because it took ages to make. But then I made Yu-Gi-Oh! The Abridged Series Episode 1, which I made in about the space of an hour, and it was all right. I mean, it had a sort of underground quality to it. This sort of thing, you know, that if you stumbled upon it, you'd be like, "Hey, this is clearly just a guy on his own in a room somewhere, just sort of throwing things together." And he obviously doesn't know what he's doing, but he's got a structure and a theme going on, and he's actually doing something different. And that was what my intention the whole time was, not was to do sort of a fan dub and a spoof, but to actually have like a structure to it and an idea going on that could be built upon, and you could develop it. And people seemed to get the idea very quickly. And you know, it wasn't very long before other people sort of thought, you know, this could be applied to lots of different things. And it was just one of those things. I have no idea how it became popular. I didn't promote it myself. The only thing I did was I posted about it on a LiveJournal community called Play the Damn Card. About 10 or 20 people responded to it and said, you know, that was really good, you should do more. And I said, okay, might as well. And then before I knew it, people were posting about it all over the internet, and it just sort of spiraled from there. It snowballed and became a huge deal, and I still don't know how it happened. I guess the answer to your question is I don't know.
If you build it, they will come.
Pretty yes. much. Yeah, because, I mean, right here with the Green Lantern Spotlight, I got it started as a little fan blog here after so many times, and then people weren't watching, weren't reviewing, and I just started doing more in-depth characters on my own POV, and then people started watching, and I said, you know what, why don't I do a podcast? There's no podcast out there, and next thing you know, I'm shooting, and people are enjoying it, and people are commenting, and now we're at 90 followers, Twitter, and we're merging with the Green Lantern Corps website, and it's just like, how the hell did this happen?
Wow.
I wasn't even involved in any fan stuff before this, and suddenly, every week, I'm now talking to people about stuff I like. It's pretty cool.
So what's the Green Lantern Corps?
The Green Lantern Corps, I mean, if you ever heard about the comic book character, the Green Lantern, he's basically the space cop for the sector of space that Earth exists in, which is 2814.
Well, I've watched Justice League, so I know basically what's in that show. I know about the Green Lantern.
Yeah, the Green Lantern Corps is pretty much basically the space police of the universe.
Right.
So, and Hal Jordan or John Stewart or whoever is designated for an area of space is a Green Lantern for that section. So, I followed it ever since I was a little kid. I actually found out about the character long before I was watching the old Super Friends cartoon in the early '80s from my grandfather, because he was in the war. He had loved the original Green Lantern, who was created during the Second World War, and that's kind of where my fandom came from.
Oh, cool.
Yours is a lot more long-lived than mine. I just found the Super Friends repeats back from the 90s and then eventually came to the comics in the 2000s.
I have a friend at work who actually, he dressed up as the Green Lantern last Christmas, and he had the Green Lantern ring and everything, and I complimented him on his costume. I was dressed as Seto Kaiba, and like a couple of people recognized who I was supposed to be, but I think more people knew who he was, so that's goes to show you that the Green Lantern is more popular than Seto Kaiba.
Oh, but no,
it's very long lived.
Yeah. Come on, Seto Kaiba, where can you go wrong? He's the original Guy Gardner with cards. Now, that's interesting, too, you know, because you were talking about how, you know, you weren't really interested in the duel, but the history of the characters, and I was a little of both in high school, you know, back in the early 90s when I was doing that, you know, people were playing Magic the Gathering all the time, and I couldn't get into it. And then Yu-Gi-Oh, you know, shows up a decade later, and I'm like, oh, I love this, and I do this, and they're like, well, Ryan, this is Magic the Gathering done with anime. And I just said, yeah, you have a point, but, you know, I love the characters. I love the history behind the monsters and what they can do and everything. And I think that's the reason why I enjoyed it. I mean, you said yourself that it was the characters. I mean, what do you think it is about the Yu-Gi-Oh! Universe that just makes people go, oh, wow, that's cool?
I'm not sure. I think, for a start, it's in a way, it's grounded in reality because it's about a young boy who it's very much like a comic book, and it's about a young boy who has, you know, regular teenage problems like bullying and all that sort of thing, and then he has this sort of strange power thrust upon him that he doesn't understand, and he stands up for, he learns how to stand up for himself and how to be a better friend, and his I guess his friends don't really have that much character development, but, you know, the whole sibling relationship with Joey and Serenity. And Kaiba has a very human story going on. He's very much the character. I mean, at the end of the day, it's more about you care about the characters and who they are, and Yu-Gi-Oh! Does a very good job of making you care about them. I mean, I think somewhere along the line they sort of in the dub specifically they got a bit lost as to where that was going because they became more focused on saving the world and stopping the forces of evil, whereas if you watch the earlier episodes, even in the dub, it was very much a series about characters who'd become swept up in something that was bigger than they were, and they were trying to sort of maintain the balance between being real people and then sort of having this responsibility that they had to take care of. And I think it's a very appealing story, that sort of thing, just to have normal people in a situation that's beyond their almost beyond their control, but they have to stand up and become something more than what they really are, more than the sum of their parts.
Well, yeah, and that was the thing, too. I mean, the first season villain, you know, Maximilian Pegasus, I mean, look at this guy. I mean, he was kind of thrown out to be this, you know, crazy evil guy, and the truth is, you know, his motivation was a completely different thing. I mean, he was this very sad and lonely, you know, rich inheritor to a fortune. You know, he had a love of art, and, you know, his family kind of was like, oh yeah, you can paint, but who cares? And he met his wife, and, you know, his life completely changed, but then she died, and then he was kind of forced to, you know, try to seek a way out. He wanted to be reunited with her, and, you know, henceforth the eye and the card game, and he got swept into something that was beyond his own control, and it just, you know, it corrupted him.
Yeah. It's a very cautionary tale, just the whole, kids are used to being like, oh, magical powers, that's great, but Yu-Gi-Oh! Is like, well, yeah, you can have these magical powers, but there's a downside.
Right.
Everyone's got to make a sacrifice for their power to be able to use it for either good or evil.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, it's very similar to what happened to Sinestro over in Green Lantern. I mean, here was a guy who was, you know, pretty much a Green Lantern, was incredibly great at it. He kind of won his own way and all that, similar to what Hal Jordan became, but then he got to a sense to where, oh, you know what, if I want to really make a controlled sector of space, I think I have to take over, and, you know, people have to follow my way, because you can't just say, oh, you're being bad, let me slap the cuffs on you, and life's good. It's more of like, no, you've got to be more enforceful, and that's kind of what led down to his dark path.
He went from a cop to a dictator.
Yeah.
And, of course, he paid for that by getting kicked out of the Corps and being punished for that, and then he became a recurring villain.
And that's all he really became, was a villain. And they didn't leave anything, and then, you know, they finally built, like, no, he's got motivation and everything. I mean, there's a reason why he does it. I mean, the great villains have motivations. I mean, you know, if you even look at Seto Kaiba's history with his stepfather and everything, and where he wanted to go in that, because his stepfather was this huge evil corporate mongol who more cared about his technically dead digitized son than the fact that he had two adopted, you know, kids to take care of. And Seto Kaiba basically turned everything around, saying, you know, we're not evil multi-corporation, we're going to do something I love to do and do it right.
Yeah.
I believe that was a filler arc, though.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but it was still interesting. I mean, people do bash that filler arc that takes place in the middle of Season 3, but that was actually the storyline I started off with when I started watching Yu-Gi-Oh, and it made me think, well, who are these people? Why are they doing all this stuff? Why is this guy so moody? And what's the deal with his stepfather? It threw me for a loop because I wasn't expecting it. And while, yeah, if you're watching season 2 and season 3 and you're wanting to see what happens with the tournament, yeah, it can be kind of annoying to have that stuck in the middle there, but I think it did a pretty good job of developing the characters.
Yeah, I mean, one thing Yu-Gi-Oh! Always did great was they actually gave motivations in history, even when things were filler arcs. They're like, no, you might consider this filler, but there's a very important reason why we're doing this. I mean, even during that arc, you know, we learned about the whole structure of what Kaiba Corp was, in which all the board of directors is motivations for, and you're just like, you know, these guys actually just start off with people just wanting jobs, and you know, look what they turned into.
You know a lot more about Yu-Gi-Oh! Than I do.
I know. F Mew there, I'm just a nerd.
He is.
In love. moving a little bit there, now you've also done some, you know, work like episode 4 of Dragon Ball Z, the Abridged series. You know, what's it like, you know, kind of breaking out and, like, doing stuff like that? Because, you know, in occasion I help out with other podcasts, and it's like a whole little different universe when it's not something that's technically your baby, and they're kind of asking, you're like, oh, sure, I'll do it, and then it's like a whole other universe. I mean, how does that differ from your own series work?
Well, I mean, I've done a few episodes of... I just shouldn't say I've done them, but I voiced lines for a few episodes of Dragon Ball Z Abridged, and really all that is them saying... Because they came to me and said, we'd love for you to be the narrator on the show, we think it would be perfect. Would you like to do it? And I said, yeah, okay, sure, it sounds like fun. And then... they just sent me some lines, and I recorded them, and I send them to them, and if they're okay, they leave them in the episode, and if they need them redoing, they send them back, and I'll redo them. But it's a really, really... I'm really a tiny, tiny cog in a really grand machine, and you know, I almost feel bad for having my name anywhere near that project, because they do such an amazing job, and I really don't contribute that much except to do some voices, and I feel so out of place, because I have never seen Dragon Ball Z.
I can honestly say that when I first heard you actually say that on the internet, I was like, someone who watches anime has never seen Dragon Ball Z? Because it was just so ingrained in anime with me, because I first saw it on Toonami with the very first animes I ever saw, so it's always been ingrained that, like, that's the first anime that people see to me.
Oh, yeah. Right. I got involved in Dragon Ball Z. My brother loved it. I mean, he's... 13 years younger than me, but I got involved in the series because I was doing a student film that they were working on, which they tried selling for a local TV series, and I also got just enthralled with the characters and everything. I'm just like, okay, why wasn't I watching this before? It's just, it's you know, I was just the add-on, but it's just like, it just sweeps you up extremely fast.
Mm-hmm. Wow. An add-on?
Yeah. I was Yamcha.
Seriously?
Yeah, I was. I had the scars. I lost 20 extra pounds. I gained about several muscle mass, and I learned Ma Yu Ta, a little bit of Taekwondo, and actually learned how to redo the splits.
I don't even know who Yamcha is.
He's the guy with the scars.
The one with the cat.
Did I see a cat in Dragon Ball Z Abridged? I don't remember.
It was the blue flying thing. Spoke with a very high-pitched voice.
Is that in Dragon Ball Z Abridged?
I think it showed up once or twice.
Yeah.
They kind of skipped through a lot of stuff, and let's be honest, the original characters were starting to become less important at this point.
Right.
Yamcha was in there. He was blown up at the very beginning of one episode as he was doing the middle of a speech.
Oh, I remember.
Yeah.
Here's this epic speech. Ah!
He doesn't want to fight. Now he's dead.
Yeah, there's a lot of really good action in the show, but while they are somewhat similar in their action, there's this person who comes into their lives, and they have to take these changes as things come along. They also have a lot of differences, and it must be kind of weird narrating for a show that you've actually never seen.
Oh, very much so. I mean, I'm pretty sure one of the last lines they had me record was, is there anybody who hasn't actually seen this show yet? And I'm like, yeah, me.
That was a very ironic line for you to have to say.
Yeah.
I suppose that was the point, though.
Yeah, probably. I'm sure they had that in mind when they wrote it. But yeah, they're a really... I mean, they're an amazingly creative bunch. I mean, they are light years ahead of me. And the fact that they've combined forces to create this really, really amazing project is... It's really the evolution of the whole Abridged series thing. And I'm really proud to even be, you know, associated with it. It's pretty awesome.
It must be pretty good, because I heard, I saw a thing with Chris Sabat, who voices many of the characters on Dragon Ball Z, the Funimation dub. He actually said at a con that he would love to see an official release for this. And I'm like, wow, when are these things getting this big? when the actual voice actors from the series are like, this fan parody is awesome. Someone needs to put that out there.
Well, I mean, at the end of the day, they are just voice actors. I mean, I know, you know, that's probably blasphemy for me to say, but, you know, I mean, do they really have any, like, can they really... I mean, yeah, it's... I mean, like, I remember somebody showing one of my videos to Vic Mignon, and he's like, yeah, I'd like to meet this guy, and I highly doubt he actually meant it. And he probably forgot about it the next day.
I never know.
I rather hope he doesn't still want to meet me, because he'll probably kick my ass.
It's really awkward after a while. Just like, you see, like, Vic Mignon, like, sitting outside of your work, staring out the window.
Martin, come here!
That's exactly what he sounds like.
Oh, man. So, Martin, what do you got coming up here in the canon here in the next few months for yourself?
In the what?
You know, in the canon?
In the canon?
In the canon.
It's basically some way of saying what's coming in the future, because it's shooting at us, apparently.
Oh, right. Okay. Well, episode 42 is still being written, and I really want to do a good job with that one, because it's a very important episode. It's basically the whole season 2 in general has been building up to the what is the inevitable showdown between Yugi and Marek Ishtar. And then they suddenly change gears, and they introduce this other side of Marek's personality that's pure evil and is almost a completely different character. And he comes out of nowhere. There's absolutely no hint that this character exists until this episode. And so it's an important episode to get right, because if you screw up that character and that's a very memorable character, then you've basically ruined a whole season of episodes, because that's basically what the series becomes about, is defeating this completely relentless nihilistic evil that exists within a character and which can, if not stopped, could completely destroy everything. And if you mess that up, it would be irreparable, I think. So I'm really trying very hard to nail that. I also am writing a third anniversary special. It's nothing amazing. It's just something I've thrown together. But I just want to sort of celebrate the fact that I've been going for 3 years. That should be coming out on Tuesday. And I'm working on a second episode of my Naruto abridged series spoof fan dub series show thing, which I don't know if you've seen, but it's basically my attempt at spoofing the whole abridged series formats, while also creating another abridged series of my own.
I saw that. That was a really amazing episode. I was like, I saw that parody. Is like, that's an abridged of an abridged almost.
Yeah, you never know. Maybe Seth Green will call you and say, hey, you want to do an episode of Robot Chicken?
That would be a surprise.
That would be pretty crazy.
Have you thought of a name for episode 42?
Yes. Am I supposed to say it?
You can if you want. No one's forcing you.
I can. It might give some stuff away, but the episode is currently tentatively called There Will Be Hugs.
Aww.
The very first name that came to me, I know it expresses my geekiness, but the first thing that came to me when I heard episode 42 should be called Life, the Universe, and Everything.
Yeah.
Who doesn't love Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy?
Well, I mean, it's a good reference. It's just I don't think it's really appropriate.
Well, like you said, this is kind of the hinge of your bridge series. If this fails, everything goes downhill. So
true. That's very true.
That's why there must be hugs.
I could call it So Long and Thanks for All the Card Games.
Oh, there you go.
That would be a good one.
That's pretty good.
That was pretty good. We're all on this Saturday. Amazing.
What would you say is your favorite voice to do in all the abridgings?
I used to really like to do Tristan's voice, because that was the first voice I nailed. That was basically the voice where I realized, you know, if I can't do anybody else's voice justice, I know that Tristan would be able to carry the show, and people will be like, that sounds exactly like Tristan did in the first few episodes. That's funny. And I sort of... based that on, there was this one line where he's in like episode 6 or 7 when Mokuba first shows up and Kaiba's ghost his ghost, which is actually a clown in disguise, it shows up and he's pretending to be Kaiba, and Mopa's like,
"That's not my brother, you gotta believe me."
And then Tristan at the end, when it's revealed that it wasn't really Kaiba's ghost, shock of shocks, he says, "I knew it wasn't the real Kaiba the whole time." And it was a fun voice, because he could say anything and it sounded a lot funnier than it really was. So you could fool people into thinking that you'd written a really funny joke by just having him say the line. But recently I've really started to enjoy doing Marek's voice, because somebody told me recently he sounds like the voice you use when you feel awkward in a situation. It's like, "I'm not sure what to say about that, okay." Kind of, but he's an amalgamation of all the various villains that I like from my childhood, like Skeletor, and more recently the Monarch from the Venture Brothers. But he, more specifically, when I was writing the voice, I had two things in mind. When I was creating the abridged version of Marek, I had two things in mind, and the first one was John Lithgow in The Adventures of Buckaroo Banzai.
Wow.
Yeah.
Which, obscure reference there.
But just the "laugh a while you can, monkey boy" kind of thing, and that's where Binky Boy sort of developed from. That was when I was writing the Christmas special, and also there was a really obscure character in an episode of Aqua Teen Hunger Force voiced by Mike Judge, which is in an episode with, I can't remember what it's called, but Carl has a giant tower erected next to his house, and it goes up to another planet where these aliens are living who beam a HDTV channel down to his TV, which just consists of them stacking cardboard boxes, and they command him to because his eyes keep bleeding because he keeps watching the TV, and they command him to stop blood coming out of his eyes by tilting his head back. And there's a line in there where Mike Judge's character says, "Carl, someone climbs the tower. You know what you must do, beast man." And I thought that was just a really
I think
really,
I
really
almost
like,
remember that episode.
But I liked that, and I decided to sort of steal someone else's voice and use it for Marek. And I've been really happy with how people have received Abridged Marek, because they weren't that impressed with him at first, but he's sort of grown on people, and a lot of people have said, you know, he's their favorite thing about season two. So
Ignore me!
Yes.
The more they want to ignore, the more they can't.
Fear me! Anyway.
Yeah, it's not working.
I know. As a former voice actor myself, anywho. Oh, well. Amir, you got anything left there for Martin?
Oh, there's just so many things I could ask if I thought about it. I would have come more prepared, but I just did not get any sleep last night. I'm, like, all messed up right now.
I recently recorded voice work for a Transformers 2 Revenge of the Fallen parody that Kerberfer did on Newgrounds, so that's just gone up a matter of hours ago. So if you're interested in seeing like my most recent voice work, you can go see, I don't know what it's called, but it's on, if you look up Kerberfer on Newgrounds, he's got this animation that he's done, which is a parody of Transformers 2, and it's got the guy who did the voice of the narrator in the Dragon Ball Z English dub, he's
Kyle
in
Hebert.
It. He voices Optimus Prime, and he and I have a sex scene in it.
Oh, God!
So it's rather like the abridged Dragon Ball Z narrator and the actual Dragon Ball Z narrator are having sex. They're in a relationship.
Wow.
That definitely brings new meaning to the Revenge of the Fallen.
I mean, I was surprised when he reprised his narrator role for the second abridged movie of Dragon Ball Z, but this brings a whole new meaning to surprise.
Oh, man. Oh, God. Well, Martin, I don't have much myself, and since Kuan was unable to join us, otherwise I know he would have had like a gigantic laundry list and a half of things for you to ask. My only ask is, what do you have advice for guys going into marriage like myself?
Oh, don't ask me that. Oh. Be excellent to each other and party on, dudes.
Wild Stallions!
Yeah! Yes. Excellent!
Keanu Reeves' true self.
Exactly.
He's just probably waiting for the third movie to be made. Why do I have to keep making these serious movies, dude?
Yeah, Alex Winters is saying, like, I want to do something besides Ben 10 movies all the time.
Well, Alex Winters, who is he in the freaking Ben 10 movies?
He directs.
Yeah, he directs.
Oh, right. Wow.
At least the live-action ones. Does he do the animated ones?
He did a couple anime, but he was the first to jump up when he wanted to do Race Against Time, and of course the Monster Swarm coming up here this fall.
Oh, that's interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's pretty good. He's a big fan of it and everything, and you can see he has a love for the series in the live action.
He's big into comic books, isn't he?
Oh, he always has been. He was even during the days of Bill and Ted, he was talking about how much he loved Spider-Man. He was a big Batman fan, but he said he was a huge fan of, like, Plastic Man and all that. He liked doing the comedy aspects of a superhero.
Plastic Man's surprisingly popular amongst creative people.
Yeah, like Ethan Van Sciver.
Our last guest.
Yeah, we jumped
what do you...
I'm sorry, go ahead there, Colt.
This is kind of not connected to... Yu-Gi-Oh! Per se, but what is your thought on zombie superheroes?
Oh, I love Marvel zombies.
Well, we're about to have a big new 8-month-long event with Green Lantern and zombies.
The Blackest Night.
Huh?
The Blackest Night, the dead shall rise.
And that's like in the comics, or?
Yes. In canon, in story, we're going to have a freaking zombie Superman coming out.
Oh my gosh.
Well, not the modern one, but the original one from the 40s.
And Martian Manhunter is a Black Lantern, so zombie Martian Manhunter, zombie original Firestorm, and original Aquaman.
That's crazy.
Zombie Aquaman. You better summon zombie fish.
The ocean shall rise.
You gotta sometimes reference the good stuff. We can't help it, we're geeks.
You know, I just wonder, you know, we have Blackest Night crossover with Captain Planet, you know, all the villains would be so screwed. Oh, well.
It's not Zombie My Magic, it's Zombie by Black Rings.
Flash!
As goofy as that sounds, they're now basically a rainbow of lantern cores, each of the different emotion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you got red, yellow, orange, blue, green, violet, indigo.
It may sound goofy, but surprisingly it's had the most creativity I've seen in years in a comic. All these new characters and stuff. You haven't lived until you've seen a cat vomit blood and vaporize someone's face.
What the?
Yeah, he's a Red Lantern. His name is Dexstar, because Red Lantern, if you're a Red Lantern, you have rage in your heart.
It literally removes your blood and replaces it with energy.
What?
Yes.
We are not making this up.
And all these people are going to be fighting at the same time that zombies are showing up. It's going to be chaos.
Insane.
Yeah, I mean, the Orange Lanterns are actually made up of one giant guy known as Agent Orange, Larfleeze, and he kills everybody and steals their souls and makes them part of his Lantern Corps, and they all are about mine, mine, mine.
They devour, basically.
I know so little about comic books. We don't have any comic book stores in the area where I grew up or in the area where I'm living now, so I really don't have much chance to read them.
Your probably only bet would probably have to be to, like, order them from a shop or something.
Right.
Yeah, I suppose.
Although I can't expect you to do that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'll say this. If you really loved Marvel Zombies, I say look out for Blackest Night here when you can find, like, a trade or something, hopefully, coming up here. And I'm pretty sure you won't be disappointed.
Cool.
And it's going to make up the next 8 months of our jokes.
Yep, we have. Name the Blackest Night character.
And I feel sorry for Kyle Rayner, one of the main Green Lanterns, because just about everyone he knows and loves dies in some horrific way.
Yeah, his four different girlfriends, including his almost possible fiance, his mother. Everybody's just going to have basically all these pissed off exes after him.
So everybody that's dead just comes back?
We're not sure exactly to how extreme, because it doesn't start till next week, but there are several people coming back, and they've shown some images of some of them.
Hmm.
And they come back to some pretty messed up stuff. And we just kind of joke like, all of Kyle's dead girlfriends will come back. Because basically, he was the reason they invented the women in refrigerators expression. Because this girlfriend was literally killed, folded in half, and stuffed in a refrigerator for him to find. Which is the 90s. Extreme! popular stuff back then.
Because basically the writer was showing, like, no, the villain is sick and twisted, and this is why.
Shock value.
Right. All right. Well, I am good to go. Martin, is there any final thoughts you want to share with us?
No.
I think we've disturbed him too much.
I think we have. Good thing Kuhan isn't here. Well,
we'd be here another hour if he was.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I would like to thank our wonderful special guest, Martin Billany, for taking out time of his busy schedule and all across the Atlantic Ocean to join Colton and I here.
Oh, yeah, no problem.
All right, so keep an eye out for Yu-Gi-Oh! The Abridged series with episode 42, as well as Transformers Revenge of the Fallen, which I must go check out as soon as I get done with my shower. So, So this is Ryan Reed speaking for the Green Lantern Spotlight podcast.
This is Colton Clayton, also known as Musard, signing out.
And have a wonderful weekend, everybody, and good night.